Shalom, this is Yair Davidi, broadcasting to you from Yerushalayim on behalf of New Bambi, Brit-Am Broadcasting Israel. We represent Brit-Am, movement of the 10 tribes of Israel. We hold that the lost 10 tribes are today to be found amongst Western peoples. We have proven this from the Bible, from rabbinical writings, from the Talmud and Midrashim, and also from secular studies in history, archaeology, mythology, linguistics, and related fields. Our website is britam.org, britam.org, and there you will find hundreds, more than 1,000 in fact, of articles on this subject of ours, proving this subject, bringing proofs from all different fields, along with many interesting discussions. You will also find references there to different publications that we have on this subject. At present, we are about to study the second book of Kings that continues from the first book of Kings. At the end of the first book of Kings, we were told how Ahab, the king of Israel, the king of the northern country of Israel, had been killed. You will remember that originally there were 12 tribes of Israel united together in one kingdom. The kingdom of united Israel, the 12 tribes, had split apart and split into two different entities, into two separate sections. There was the northern kingdom of Israel in the north, comprised of 10 tribes, and in the south you had the kingdom of Judah, comprised of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and most of Levi, as well as small contingents, minority contingents from the other tribes. And in the end, eventually, the northern kingdom was to be conquered by the Assyrians, taken into exile, and its inhabitants to lose their identity. They became known as the Lost 10 Tribes of Israel, and that is what our organization does. Our organization looks as to where the Lost 10 Tribes of Israel went to and who their descendants are today, and we have proven or shown where the Lost Tribes of Israel may today be recognized and found as concrete, coherent entities. That is what we have done, that is what we do, and that is what we are about. Our present narrative concerns a period before the northern Israelites were exiled, whilst they still existed as a separate kingdom, as a kingdom in their own right, and we are continuing our history of this kingdom. And we are told that after the death of King Ahab, Moab, the kingdom of Moab that Israel had ruled over, rebelled. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And we shall see later, or in other parts of the Bible, we are told that Moab, not only did Moab rebel against Israel, but it also, together with Ammonites, attacked Israelite cities and Judah cities of Judah, and it caused a lot of damage, a lot of serious harm to the Israelite entities. So, having kept Moab in subjection had in effect been a safety measure. It had not been a mere act of aggrandizement, of expansion for the sake of expansion. For the sake of the security of the country, Moab had needed to be subjected. And Ahab kept Moab in subjection. After his death, Moab rebelled against Israel. And this is also confirmed by a stone inscription that written by a king of Moab, Mesha, king of Moab, that relates how he rebelled against the kingdom of Israel and the raids he made upon Israelite and Jewish cities of Judah, and the harm he boasts of having caused, and also the great wealth he had. The great wealth he had that previously had been given as tribute to the kingdom of Israel. So the rebellion of Moab against Israel was not only a damage to the security and to the well-being of the state of Israel, it was also a serious economic blow, a serious loss of economic wealth had been entailed by this rebellion. And after Ahab died, Moab rebelled, and his son Ahaziah became king, and he ruled in Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel. Samaria is now known as Sebastia. It is in the region of Shomron, so-called Samaria, on the so-called West Bank. And you can go and see the remains that have been excavated of the palaces and the former buildings that were part of the kingdom of Samaria. And Samaria was also the name given not only to the city itself, but to the area surrounding it. And the Bible, Samaria is also used as one of the terms applying to the whole of the northern kingdom of Israel altogether. Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria. This was a type of upper room, like a type of attic, with the kind of what you could lattice works, or type of opening that had been specially made in the floor of the upper room to enable the circulation of air. It was a primitive type of air conditioning, which was probably quite efficient. But Ahaziah fell through this floor, hurt himself, is injured, and he is sent to inquire of Baal-zebub. In Hebrew is Zebub, meaning fly. Baal means master or lord, so literally lord of the flies. Baal-zebub literally means lord of the flies, and that this title, lord of the flies, was apparently what inspired the famous book of that name that is known to us as a recent bestseller concerning boys who are shipwrecked on an island and set up their own little form of inherent tyrannous rule. At all events, Ahaziah fell through the lattice, he injured himself, and he sent to inquire about Zebub, the god of Ekron, whether he should recover from the injury. Ekron was a Philistine city in the south. And in the meanwhile, Elijah the prophet, was informed by an angel as to what was going on, and he was told, go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there's no god in Israel that you're going to inquire about the god of Ekron? And in other words, he was saying to Ahaziah that by going to a foreign god, you are betraying the Almighty. You're also committing treason against Israel. The Hebrew people will be subject to foreign influences, thought patterns, and domination when they return to foreign gods. And this was the warning given in those times, and we should also apply it to our own time. Young people today, or intellectuals in general, just become fashionable to turn to foreign gods, to Buddha and Zen philosophies, and all kinds of inky winkies, all kinds of strange practices of idolatry and false idols, which has become quite the fashion among certain circles. We should be careful of this, because the God of Israel is a jealous God, and we should not go after our inclinations or our fancies for these somewhat ridiculous superstitious practices that foreigners are in favor of. We should not do it. And by doing it, we undermine ourselves and we betray our own heritage. And in the past, British and German upper classes have also done the same thing. That before the Nazi era, they were playing around with the sciences and spiritualism and German mythology and Greek and Roman mythology, and attributing something serious, some serious significance to these ideas, and this helped give rise to racialism and Nazism and demonology. They also practiced or claimed to wish to practice human sacrifice, and human sacrifice is indeed what the Nazis did, and they did it on a fantastically great scale, and this is to our own shame, to the shame of everyone, to the human race, that such people existed on the face of the earth. And it is all a result of false idols, of idolatry. And today we have the same thing. We have on the left wing, Pinky Winkies, flower people, adopting Indian and Asiatic practices, and all kinds of idolatrous ideas. And also on the right, on the right wing, we have the same thing. The same trend of thought. And it all comes down to the one source of rejecting the Almighty God of Israel and rejecting the Bible. And whenever you reject the Bible and you go after your own eyes, you go after foreign heathen ideas, you will bring disaster upon yourself and upon others. Not, if it was only upon yourself, it would be okay. It would not be okay, but we could say a person is his own master. A person can do what he like to some degree, but he should realize that you cannot, it's not so. You cannot do things on your own, because you have a responsibility to yourselves and to your family and to those around you, to your children, to your forefathers, or the children that you should have, or the people you will influence in the future. You have an obligation to live a good life, and to be a good influence as much as well as you can on others. And if you do not do this, you will be judged, and God will take judgment of you. In the same ways as He will take judgment of us, of me and others, who also, if we do not fulfill the duty and the obligations that are laid upon us. At all events, Elijah condemned Ahaziah for going to the god of Ekron, to Baal-Zebub, to the Lord of the Flies, to ask what would become of him. And he says, and he was to say, that the bed to which you have gone up, you shall die upon. And that was what Elijah told the messengers to return and say to Ahaziah. And so they returned, and he says, why have you come back? And they said to him, the messenger said to Ahaziah, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there's no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then Ahaziah said to them, what kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, the messengers answered Ahaziah, he was a hairy man, he was wearing a leather belt around his waist. And Ahaziah said, that is Elijah, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Tishbite or Tishbi in Hebrew, meaning that he came from the settlement of Tishbi, which was probably in northern Syria. Elijah was known as Elijah the Giladite, from Gilad. And Gilad at that time encompassed the region east of the Jordan, as well as the Syrian area. And in future Israelites, especially those from the tribes of Ephraim and Joseph in general, are to settle there in that region, as you may see in Zechariah 10 and the book of Malachi. And then as we go on, Ahaziah said to his those around him to send out a captain of 50 with 50 men, and to call Elisha to him. And this captain went up, and he found Elisha sitting on top of a hill, and he spoke to him and said, "Man of God, the king has said, come down." But Elisha's man of God, and he commanded Elisha to obey the king. This captain, this policeman, this soldier doing police work was placing the royal order before that of the Almighty. We have the same problem today with government officials, doctors, peoples in positions of influence and authority who put official policy or the conventional practice or their own prejudices before the divine commandments. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven and burnt up this person and his 50 men. And then so Ahaziah sent to him another captain of 50 with another 50 men. And this person came up and he found Elijah once more, and he said to him, "Man of God, thus said the king said, come down quickly." This second messenger, this second emissary with his 50 men was even more imperious, even more commanding and assertive than the first one. It was even worse. And he said, "Man of God, the king says, come down quickly. Schnell." So Elijah answered and said to him, "If I am a man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And the fire of God came down from heaven and burnt him up and his 50. So again, as he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, "Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight." This third person acknowledged the preeminence of the Almighty over that of human rule. He was, however, an agent of the king, and he had to perform his duty. He had to perform what he had been ordered to do, or at least make the attempt. He therefore begged Elijah for consideration for himself and the men he was in charge of. And he said, this third captain said, "Look, fire's come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s. With their 50 men, 100 men altogether, as well as the two captains. And therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight." And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him, do not be afraid of him." So Elijah rose up and he went down with him to the king. And then Elijah said to the king when he became before him, "Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire about Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is there no god in Israel that you inquire of a foreign god? Is there no God in Israel to ask of him what you should do, what will come? Therefore, because you have done this thing, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elisha in Hebrews Eliyahu, according to which Eliyahu had spoken, because Ahaziah had no son. So therefore, Jehoram, or in English transliteration, Jehoram, became king in his place. Jehoram was his brother. Jehoram and Ahaziah were the sons of Ahab. Apparently Ahaziah had been the elder one, and he had reigned, and then he had died after the accident, and because he had no children, Jehoram, his brother, became king. And here it says in, we are talking about 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 17, that Ahaziah became king in the second year. Ahaziah died, and Jehoram, his brother, became king in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat had reigned alongside Ahab. The son of Jehoshaphat was called Jehoram, and so too Jehoram was the name of the son of Ahab. They both had sons with the same names. Ahab had ruled over the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and Jehoshaphat had ruled over the kingdom of Judah. Both of them had sons. The son of Ahab, or one of the sons of Ahab, was called Jehoram, and this was same name. Jehoram was also the name of the son of Jehoshaphat. Ahab and Jehoshaphat had gone together as allies to war against the king of Aram, Syria, in the English translation, even though actually it meant an area that encompassed part of northern Syria and also regions to the east of the Euphrates River. And they had fought against the kingdom of Aram, and Ahab had been killed in that war, and Jehoshaphat had almost been killed, but his life had been spared. So in effect, we know that it had been decreed in heaven that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, should also have been killed in that battle. But he had cried out, and the God Almighty had mercy upon him, and then added unto him another 7 years of rain, or according to how you compute it, another 7 or 5 years of rain. But even so, after that time, Jehoshaphat appointed his king Jehoram to be co-evil with him, to reign alongside him. And so that the reigns of Jehoshaphat and Jehoram overlapped. So the reign of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, may be computed, or it may be reckoned from the time that Jehoshaphat, his father, appointed him to rule, or alternately from the time when Jehoshaphat died and Jehoram became sole ruler. So that is why here we get a contradiction in the biblical verses as to exactly when the reign of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began. And that is why the last verse of our chapter in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 17, it says that Ahaziah died, and Jehoram, his brother, ruled in his place. And this was in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Whereas according to other computations, it was actually some years, or at least between 7 to 9 years before Jehoram became the sole king. Whatever the case, the contradictions have been reconcilable, as we have shown. And that is our chapter. That is our entire chapter. And the message of this chapter is that we should all return to the God of Israel, keep the Bible as a true book of God Almighty, and internalize the biblical message, and God will help us and save us, and he will heal us, and he will not take his revenge, or he will not exert his power against us if we humble ourselves and we ask him to take consideration of us and of our frailty and human weakness. God will help us, and he will reconcile himself to us. Think, and we will be reconciled to him. We just make a little effort in that direction. Thank you very much. This is Yair Davidi from New Banbury, Brit Am Broadcasting, Israel.